podcast?
Movie podcast.
Are you getting
this? I do this too often to be upset this often. So
welcome to the Movie Podcast, everybody. Episode number 164. That's right. Yeah, it's been a lot. It's kind of crazy. I'm your host, Tiggs, and with me, as always, are Peter.
Hail Dondas.
And Russ.
Long live Elphaba.
And Alex.
Hail Hanks.
All right. Yeah, we'll take it from the top. We want to try that. Hey, welcome to the Movie Podcast. There, I'm kidding. We're going to keep on going. All right. It's been a couple of months since we've all been here together in a room talking about movies. We do that on email instead. But then we saved the actual talking part for this. We've got a long list of things to go through, and it's crazy. We all saw a whole lot, but only one movie that we all saw. And we'll save that for the end. And we'll start, I think, with the movie that came out right after our last podcast, which is Venom.
Oh, my God.
The Last Dance.
Yeah, you guys are Venom.
I vaguely remember the trailer.
I don't even remember the film. What was
the movie? Okay. I can't really speak to. I'm actually going to Wikipedia just to like remember.
Do you need a rust down for a movie you have seen?
Oh,
I do.
Right. I could use that as well. The only thing I remember is the end of the movie where there's like a bunch of Venoms and it's a video game fight. And it's kind of like the end of like Justice League or Blue Beetle or something where you're just like, this is all CGI and looks like crap.
Yeah. So it's, as we talked about before, the first two, I don't know what it is about this series, because like the first two are pretty fun, even though I don't think either of them are good movies.
No.
But there's joy enough in them. And yet I went and saw this one, didn't really like it either. But in my head, I'm like, I'd see a fourth. I don't know why the Venom series has this power over me.
I think that it's just... So this is the most serious of the Venoms, which I like... I'm speaking almost entirely in like quotations. But like, it's serious, and that comes off as stupid. And I kind of like the Venom movies because they're stupid. But this isn't my kind of stupid, and all the Null stuff is stupid, but that's the kind of stupid I don't like, where it's like you're ending a franchise while teasing a big bad for a larger series of films, which is in and of itself stupid. So then I come all the way back around to maybe that is my kind of stupid.
How
does that make sense?
Is it anything worth
like? No.
Is it a big bad worthy of multiple movies?
No. Null could have been in the movie. Yeah. The movie wouldn't have been any different.
No, yeah. Null feels like a last minute panic. Like we have to do something, even though he's like the main. It's like the main thrust of the film, but we only see Null in another dimension or on another planet,
just
sitting in a chair,
speaking in exposition.
Yeah, sitting in a chair, not looking at the screen the entire time up until the very end. Like this like, dude, the big bad never stands up.
No, and like surrounded by like like putties or underlings, like Power Ranger putties or like underlings. Why would Null be sitting there on the like chair that he's stuck on? Being like, hey, guys that clearly know me because you work for me, I am Null. I am the death. I am blackness and darkness, and I want Venom, and he has a code. I'm like, they would all be like looking at each other like, is he good? Like, is he
Yeah,
right?
Like, Null doesn't
know. Do you
get
want to
out
tell
of chair?
Him?
Like, what's happened in his life that he has to talk about constantly besides this?
Like, they needed to give me one, like, alien underling doing, like, a gym face from the office.
Absolutely.
Just to make this make sense.
Yeah.
Because who, like, is he being, like, a Michael Scott right now, and he's talking about all his great accomplishments, and they all get, like, It's so stupid.
Because
and also, it's also so short.
Yeah, and also he. Yeah. So that's that would be the saving grace, as opposed to Smile 2, which we'll talk about later, of the Venom films, is that they're all, I think, 150 or less.
This is the longest one. It's like, it's like an hour and 51, like an hour and 49 minutes or something. And that's like a long time.
Yeah. So the annoying thing is, like, as you said, it needs an underling because Null has like these like 80 spider creatures around him that he's dispatching. Oh, yeah. And even at one point he's like, oh, we found Eddie Brock. Everyone get in there. And it's still only two spider creatures are there. Why didn't all of the spider creatures show up? Where did they, like, five or six of them jumped into portals. Where did those portals go?
Maybe other they just dimensions? Went, like, too far, or... It's like, ah, shit, I'm in Antarctica. It's gonna take me a while.
So, like, so it's... Does this tie into any other movies besides just the Venom ones? Like, is it, like, didn't
solely Venom.
Yeah, just Venom.
Didn't you, like, go and see Tom Holland at one point and, like...
They cleaned that up at some point.
No, the only thing that happened was that he was just zapped into that dimension but never left, like, the beach resort he was zapped into.
But a little bit of his whatchamacallit was left behind.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of symbiote.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
that was at the end of Spider-Man, maybe? I don't...
Yeah, that sounds right. Was there a credit scene for this?
Yes. I didn't watch it. I just read about it because I didn't care. I think it's just like them finding a little piece of Venom in the wreckage, or them or showing us there's at least a little piece of Venom in the wreckage.
Got it. Sure.
Yeah. It was the bartender from Ted Lasso. He leaves, like, the area where they had all that fighting, and a black cockroach crawls next to, like, a little bit of a Venom symbiote, and that's that.
That's it.
It is it's stupid in some ways that I enjoy, and then it's stupid in a lot of ways I don't. I did like him going to Vegas and dancing with Mrs. Chen.
Oh yeah, that was good. That was.
I'm like, we like seeing Venom dance and be an idiot. Yeah. Just let us see that more. Like, I almost want the Venom movies to not even be like superhero movies. Just I want Venom movies to just be two-handers of like Dumb and Dumber or Grumpier Old Men or like just like movies. Just give me movies like that with Venom and Tom Hardy.
Did the symbiote, did Venom at some point say, you're so money and you don't even know it?
Yes. Yes. He did. In Vegas, he made a swingers reference.
Okay. I never would have like thought about this, but for whatever reason, whenever I would talk to Colin about the Matrix, he always had the problem that, one of the people in the real world made the, hey, Mikey, he likes it reference, but they would not have not and they wouldn't have a point of reference to like quote a commercial that they had never seen before. And that's how I felt about the swingers quote within this. Unless Eddie Brock is just watching swingers all the time, which is fine. True. That's fine. But like have the DVD in the background somewhere.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
Oh,
That's a Favreau film, and this movie has at least a secondary or tertiary connection to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, where is Jon Favreau existing outside of Happy Hogan? Like, what's the deal here?
Right, is there a world where they could meet?
All right.
That's a movie I would see.
Yeah, that is 100%
give me two Favreaus, one that's happy, one that's Favreau as we know him, who not only directed Iron Man but is in Iron Man, playing both the director of Iron Man, Happy Hogan. I want it all, and I want Venom to comment on all of the insanity.
It's kind of like in Ocean's 12 when Julia Roberts shows up and pretends to be Julia Roberts.
Yeah, give me that. Who cares?
Yeah,
it's all stupid.
All right, Now, see, that's a type of stupid that I can co-sign. I am struggling to remember anything. Were the scientists evil? I don't even remember what the hell was going on in this movie half the time.
No, there's really nothing.
He was like, I might be evil. I think every 10 minutes he didn't know what his motivation was. He's like, all right, I'm going to play this like Tommy Lee Jones or in The Fugitive or The Rock in the Fast movies. And now, you know what? Never mind. I'm going to be a bad guy. You know what? Don't feel like it anymore. I'm good again. Like, no motivations make any sense.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's dumb as hell.
Yeah, I think you're completely correct that he does feel like he might be a villain, but almost as if like they left themselves room because they weren't sure, which is confusing because this was the issue with the first Venom movie because it had so many like rewrites and reshoots because Tom Hardy was being like a bit of a annoying baby about not liking the direction of the movie. But this one is directed by his like writing partner.
Right.
So I don't know how this one also feels like they weren't sure what they were going to do and just like started making it anyway.
It's all right. Very, very weird. And we've spent.
And this is the last Venom? I don't know. We'll see. I guess we'll see. All right. Let's pick up another one. Let's go to something that everybody likes. Let's talk about Here.
I knew it. I fucking
yes.
Here. What an interesting concept.
Talk to me about Here. So I didn't see it. You all did.
Throughout all of time.
Okay. And the future. Yeah, it keeps going. It's not even just the past.
In one room in Philadelphia.
That's kind of where it lost me was the Philadelphia connection, but yeah.
It did not lose me because
does it ever have sports fans?
No, but it does have. Guess who their neighbor is? Benjamin Franklin's son or something or dad? I don't remember.
Huh?
I thought it was like the brothers. Yeah.
Yep. So at there's it. Benjamin Franklin's a running motif in this. This is a movie about all these different relationships that happened in this room, be it familial, romantic, like all this stuff. And it's Lindsay put it perfectly. It's like a bad off-Broadway play that your friend drags you to. It's like
it really does feel like that.
Because like people talk like in a mid-Atlantic accent, they'll be like going like, "Why, I just got back from fighting the Germans."
It's like, why are you telling me that? You're my dad.
Yeah.
And why are you not facing the people you're talking to? You're like standing like it's the blocking in this movie, which is I don't know a phrase that you should be saying is bad.
Yeah.
Everything in this is bad.
Oh, it's so odd how like I don't know. There's a whole world out there. Why is everything happening in this one room?
No, man. It's like something that like a stone friend would say. Be like, think about like this place once had like dinosaurs on it.
Which it did, God. Technically.
And at one point, show. A black family will move in.
Hang on. So, question. Is the movie linear? Or does it bounce all around?
It bounces around.
So the one clever thing is this is based on a graphic novel, and they take the conceit of the graphic novel in which there's like you're able to have like the same frame, but you can have little boxes open up to show something else from that point of view from another time. So
I didn't realize that that's why they had those boxes pop up.
So these like squares and rectangles move around the screen at certain points and like will show you someone else in that room at a different point and like start to blend it all together. And it tries to find like thematic elements to it all. But as Alex said, like the blocking and the stiffness of what you have to do to make this work in motion makes it so uncomfortable.
And same so with weird. The de-aging in this. They like turn Tom Hanks into like bachelor party Tom Hanks at one point, but he's like all like rubbery. It's
there's so, a lot of close-ups too, and like, and so it just looks like even more rubbery and waxy.
What's Zemeckis's deal?
I don't get it. He's very good
at making movies.
Yeah,
but he's choosing to be bad at making movies. He doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Why is he doing this?
I don't know what monkey's paw he found that like made him like, yes, he will have a long career, but it'll be bad for more than it's been good now, I think.
It just doesn't make sense.
The last good movie he made was Flight.
Right, and that was 12 years ago.
That was a long time ago.
Whatever, yeah.
And that was like one of his few regular movies.
And that was, yeah, that was his only good movie for like years before that too.
Yeah.
This
movie is so boring.
but it's weirdly like have some drinks and goof on it. Cause like, it's,
yeah.
Like it's so good. Like there's moments that are supposed to be like heart wrenching that you'll crack up. Like the Christmas tree, mom falling off a ladder and having a stroke.
Oh my God. I'm watching the shit out of this.
Ridiculous.
That's not something you should be. I should say while like, cracking up a little bit.
I know.
Or like the lazy boy, like inventor who has like,
they were great.
Is the only interesting subplot. Other than that that one other one where it's just like the two people for a second that are like, you have a mole on your face. You noticed my imperfection. You're like, what is going on right now? And that's the entirety of the subplot.
Architecture students that I like entered the room with the energy of the Manson family.
Oh, so weird.
What was that?
We were going to like tie her up and kill her in this room.
And she's like, you must. But then she out-creeped them because she was like, try the lemonade.
Yeah.
The I know. Yeah. Recipe.
And it's just, you got Russ. You got to watch this.
I'm kind of hooked. That night, Russ.
If that was the twist, if it was just like, no, actually, she's a serial killer. She just killed all these people and she's got to hide the bodies like somewhere and like can't get out of the room. And like, she has to start like digging. Oh, my God. Like, if this was Silent Hill.
Classic Stir of Echoes situation where she exactly. puts in the walls.
Or like, if it was like, I don't know, like put the Jackass guys in this thing and just be like, here, you got a room to do whatever the hell you want with. Yeah, like super fun. But
what if at one point they go like, I'm Steve-O, this is standing in the same room for all of time.
Or like, what if go to like the future and they're just like, oh man, we should like a production company asked us to rent out this room for a movie, and then you see like a different movie for like 10 minutes and you're like, oh, this is pretty interesting.
Sorry, when you said Jackass, I might have zoned out before. Did you talk about the moment in which a baby gets bounced off an ottoman?
We did not talk about the baby getting bounced off the ottoman.
Which literally, like, it looks like a Jackass stunt, the way this CGI baby falls off an ottoman face first. It is hilarious.
And does someone get Alzheimer's and have to remember everything? Because
just don't tell me who. Yeah, I'm going to watch this. This might be my watch off tonight.
It uses every, like, 5 minutes into this movie, you'll be in it.
I wonder if there is a direct correlation to the fact that Robert Zemeckis' last good movie is Flight, and it's also the cheapest movie he's made in the last, like, 17 years. It's like $30 million. Everything else is like a lot of money, a stupid effect he really wants to do or try, or... And I'm like, my guy, just make a regular movie.
So him and Spielberg have been doing the Lord's work for decades now, being like, no, we're not touching the Back to the Future franchise. You can't make a sequel. You can't make a prequel. And we're not doing it. And then this fucking psychopath was quoted recently saying the same thing. Like, oh, yeah, they come to me all the time asking. I always tell them no. But he says, but what I would like to do is I would like to direct the musical version as a movie. And I was like, how are you so stupid?
Right.
I know.
At the same time of being so smart about something. How is that possible?
He's got to be like one of the most confounding directors who's ever lived. Because when you look at his filmography from beginning to end, the first like three quarters is fucking unbelievable. A couple misses here and there, but it's like the last quarter has just been turd after turd after turd, but like high concept turds. If he made a bad movie that was just like a drama that wasn't very good, that's one thing. But you keep making all these dumb ass turds. Stop. Just make a movie.
The Walk, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And then that Witches remake.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
That's horrible.
I haven't seen that.
I hated his Pinocchio.
Same.
Yeah. I heard that movie. It like came and went and disappeared, and I was just like, I'm fine.
Oh my god! And Welcome to Marwen. That's right.
I never saw that either.
Right.
His Pinocchio made me not like Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio only because I was so mad to be watching another Pinocchio.
Yeah. That's
and fair. I've heard good things about Guillermo del Toro's, and I need to go back and watch it, but I'm still like, I don't want to fucking watch Pinocchio.
Guys, but what if you accidentally put on his Pinocchio instead, and you're just like, oh god.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Mars Needs Moms. That's, I think, the
yeah, he produced it.
Wow. All right,
let's move on.
All right, let's move on. Yeah, we're moving on. All right, now tell me. All right, I wanted to see this. I never got the chance to see it. So I would love to hear about Anora.
Do you want to actually weirdly do a rust down for this? Because I feel like this is a kind of a movie that like needs some explanation as to like what it is, so we can kind of like jump off from there.
Yeah, sure. I can do that in 1 second. You got it. Anora.
Nice.
Directed and written by Sean, a sex worker lover Baker. Anora, a young sex worker from Brooklyn, meets and impulsively marries the son of an oligarch. Once the news reaches Russia, her fairy tale is threatened as his parents set out for New York to get the marriage annulled. We're actually telling a little too much, I think, there.
Yeah,
but,
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I
was so surprised that you are kind of middling on this movie.
I'm not middling. I just really, really, I wasn't picking it up until I was.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like, the first half of them that like I really enjoyed the second half. Like I really thought the second half of it was like exactly what I would have wanted in a movie. It's just the first half of all the setup, I didn't really care for it that much. It was good. There's nothing wrong with this movie. It is very, very good. And I think Mikey Madison is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think she's awesome. I think her husband's awesome. I think the fucking dudes that are with her all night, like, that was where the movie became the movie I wanted it to be. Was like, as soon as all those dudes showed up and were like, yeah, this can't happen, I was like, now I'm in. It just took an hour to get there.
It's a kind of a complicated movie to like articulate sometimes, and I haven't seen Sean Baker movies before. I didn't see The Florida Project. So this
what about Red Rocket?
Oh, I saw Red Rocket. Oh,
yeah, you love Red Rocket. That was like your top 10, wasn't it?
That's him too.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, okay.
And Tangerine, like he loves the sex worker.
His name is Stampy. You loved him.
No, but like it's like you just watch person after person just like kind of use her, and even the ones that are like pretending to be, I guess pretending or whatever, to like have her best interest, I think it's like it's weirdly a pretty heartbreaking movie. I think it does a good job of being fun when it needs to be. Just to articulate, just to accentuate those points. That was it. I don't know what else.
You got oddly silent after that, Alec. It was like you said something really controversial.
Here's the thing, like, and that's why I pretty much love Sean Baker movies. I think all of them prior to Tangerine have made it into my top 10 in one way or another. Tangerine was only because I didn't see it until after. But I was more into the madcap, like, good time feel of the second half of the movie. It felt
but then that comes kind of crashing down at the end.
Yes, and like that's kind of my thing. And I know that it's, I kind of knew it was going to, well, I didn't know it was going to get there. But it seemed like that's what this movie was capable of. I just feel like the first part, which was like, you know, the going up the roller coaster and all the fun and all the glitz and the glamour. I'm like, I don't need this. There's a movie in here that I want to see. And I want to see it now. And then I finally get there. I'm like, oh, this is perfect. This is what I wanted. So The movie, it's very good. I really did enjoy it. I just wanted it to get where I wanted it to be, where I wanted it to get a little sooner. All the weirdness, just her with all those fucking bumbling idiots. Oh, I was like, This is what I like. Her playing off of all of them and their energies and breaking noses and just like running her mouth. I'm like, this is perfect.
I had to get my wallet back from an Uber driver in Brighton Beach. And the whole time I was there, I was like, I'm going to go on a madcap adventure.
Yeah, it was so fun. And it felt like, I don't mean Good Time Junior or like a Safdie Brothers Junior in any way that is like reductive to Sean Baker, but like, it just felt like one of those where like the dark isn't as dark, but if you think about it long enough, it could be.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm okay, but that's kind of like what I want to see, because I felt like even with some of the Safdies, like I was always like too stressed out that I didn't actually enjoy myself most of the time while watching it.
Yes, they pull at that to a point where you're like, I'm actively uncomfortable.
In this one or the Safdie brothers?
Safdie.
The Safdie, but Anora, gives you a lighter. So when you say light or junior, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. It just means like this has a lot more rewatchability. I will watch the last half of this movie all of the time.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it.
Stressful.
Right. And that's the only like negative that I've ever really thought of, like with kind of like what this movie reminded me of from like, either the Safdies or Good Time or kind of like, you know, whatever. But that's what I was wondering, if it was like kind of like fairy tale ish at times, and then like, oh, and now here comes crashing down, but like not too bad, you know, like
not really. Maybe. Because, like, the thing about it is that even the like the as Russ said, the roller coaster ride up, it's not a good life.
No,
it's okay. It's only her, like you can see her dreaming it being something better. But it's not. And like nothing that happens after that is surprising. And I think that's what makes the end so powerful when she kind of clicks into that. Like it never should have worked out, because even if it did quote unquote work out to what it was, that sucked.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And it really does. You're right, Peter, that like the point where you're like, oh, my God, I'm hitching my star to this oligarch kid who's like, yeah, he's shitty and sucks, and like their time spent together is mainly like him playing Call of Duty,
right? Like I was like, that was my thing. I'm like, he always sucked, and if you didn't think he didn't, then you are stupid.
So you're telling me it doesn't work out in the long run?
It might.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, maybe he plays
Call of Duty now and then.
He like decides Battlefield is for him instead at the end of it, something like that. Yeah. Okay.
I like Battlefield better.
I agree. Yeah. Hard agree. A little Spec Ops the line. He's just like, I'll go back to the classics. All right, let's move on. Talking about the classics, let's talk about Gladiator 2. Talk about calling back to the classics.
I watched Gladiator 1.
I just
the
did
day, like, either the day before or the same day.
Damn maybe fine
the,
movie.
The morning. But yes.
Damn fine movie with a whole lot of damn fine performances in it.
Dude, You know, you want to think that you get older and you're more of like a highbrow film person. Gladiator 2, or Gladiator still fucking rips. It does. So good.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
It is so good. It is deserving of all of its accolades. The movie fucking rules.
I don't really love Gladiator.
I love it. It's a fucking good ass time, dude. What's wrong with it? Cool guys doing cool shit.
Yeah, it is dudes being bros.
Yeah,
I think Peter's problem is that there's so many duels in it that there's no specific last duel, right? Is that what your problem with Gladiator is?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good movie.
You fucking hit the nail on the head there, dude.
I don't know. Movie rules.
There's a lot of good performances in it. I think that like everyone who is supposed to be like creepy and slimy is so creepy and slimy. It feels just like this. It feels epic. It feels like it's fun when it needs to be fun. Russell Crowe is really good. I don't know. Like I think that Gladiator is like, it's not high art or anything, but it is just a fun ass movie.
Yeah, it's fucking sick, dude.
It is now super that, sick. How Gladiator 2?
Gladiator 2.
It's fine.
It's good. It's not the best thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not the worst. Yeah. I think Ridley knew if I don't have somebody swinging for the fucking fences in this movie, this movie does not work. So, dearest Denzel, please pretend as though you are not in the same world as anybody else. I know you are a Shakespearean actor. You do a lot of plays. You could play this straight. You could you can do that. If you would by any chance not and just go balls to the walls crazy, I would prefer that. And Denzel took that note. And he fucking ran with it. And the same thing about those two little twerps.
What was he doing and why was his schedule not clear? How did both of those guys get cast above Caleb Landry Jones in that role?
That's shocking. I get the Joseph Quinn, like he's on the rise. Like Fred Hechinger or whatever his last name is. I like him. I think he's always in stuff I enjoy, and I enjoy him. This was way too big for him. This was Caleb Landry Jones was born to be the creepier little guy.
Oh, my God.
Like, he's been doing it for so long. How did he miss this shot? But that said, Gladiator 2, like, this... I'm happy Paul Mescal did this now, because now I know this isn't for you. Like, you are great. You are a phenomenal young actor. You will have an awesome career. You don't make the movies like this.
Yeah, he doesn't really command the screen as much as you need the person doing that. But that's the one exciting thing about the movie was when Denzel completely takes it over. Denzel's part grows and grows and grows as the movie goes on, and that's for the movie's benefit.
Yes.
It's funny, like, all of the Gladiator scenes are some of the most boring scenes in the movie. Like, they're jumping away from, like, you know, the animals that are coming at them or whatever.
CGI animals.
Yeah. So it's almost this thing of like, wow, thank God that Ridley Scott made this before any of this would have worked, because like if he had the technology then, who knows what Gladiator could have been. The final scene in the water was such a compelling fight. That was great. And there was no CGI. And
cool.
Yep.
What was I going to say? Shit, no, I forgot.
And it's shorter.
Something about here, maybe? I don't know.
So Gladiator 2 suffers in a lot of the like weird legacy sequel things suffer, in which like if you took 20 years to make this movie, the very first thing I'm sitting down and my first demand, even before I get to entertain me, because I'm going to ask and because I want you to ask if I'm not entertained at one point,
obviously,
is I need you to prove to me you need to exist now. Yep. And I don't think this movie ever gets that point where it justifies its own existence.
Yeah, right. It's basically just like, oh, you know, they're back at it.
Here's some more Gladiators.
That's not enough for 25 years.
Yeah, its connections to the first one are obvious and boring, and the thinking of anything it does as a twist or a reveal is an insult to anyone's intelligence. And it's just kind of flat. So even when it gets fun, or even when Denzel is doing some like really big fun choices, he says the word politics at one point in a way that I'm just like, no notes. I hope to God that was his first take and he refused to do another one because it's incredible. But like, even though I'm having fun, I'm just like, I just don't know why I'm here. Especially, I don't know why I'm here for 2 hours and 12 minutes.
No.
Yeah, it's long. It's long.
Because it's just like, so what did the first movie not exactly solve, but what did it accomplish?
Right.
If now we have another one, and then if we end on what feels like it's sort of a nice moment here, this is also like, this movie ends close to the fall of Rome, so what did we just accomplish?
Yeah. And like, I feel like Pedro Pascal's character was almost like, ah, shit. Paul can't, like, this character doesn't work on their own. So I guess we need another person to carry some of that weight. We'll do Pedro Pascal because everybody loves him. But then he hardly had enough to do. So it's like you got two villains. You got two guys that are kind of on the same side, but not really. And then you've got one Denzel who everybody orbits around. And it's like you're doing a lot, but ultimately none of it matters. None of it matters. And that kind of takes you out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we did it. We gladiator-tued.
Yeah. And I know I complained a bunch, but like, I'm also like, I'm not upset. It's not like, oh man, you really fucked over Gladiator. You didn't, like, I can't believe you did all this. It's just like,
it's fine.
Yeah.
It's weird better than the last duel. I think we can all agree on that.
Okay. Untrue. Patently untrue. It's just, as I said, it's just super weird to do a sequel to a Best Picture winner 20 years later and have it kind of be this like nothing burger.
Yeah. It's like entertaining enough, but it's just, I don't know. It's inessential. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's almost like, that's almost kind of worse in a sense. I'm like, you're not even bad.
Yeah, just kinda, that would have been great if it was bad.
It's like, all right, pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Totally. Like, this is a watch it with your dad movie. Like, but that's really it. And it could have been more than that. Like, Gladiator is, oh boy, your dad won't shut up the whole time because he's going to talk about all this stuff he knows about, like, the Roman Empire. And it's going to be really annoying.
He's always thinking about it.
It's going to add all this annoying color. But at the end of the day, it's like, all right, I spent 3 hours with my dad and it wasn't horrible.
Yeah,
right. So that's
not a single mention of Caesar Catalina.
All right. We've got a bunch of this to get through. We got a bunch to get through still. So let's blitz through a couple more of these, starting with Smile 2.
I knew you were going to fucking do that. Smile 2. If you like Smile and want to see more Smile, here's Smile 2.
I did like Smile, and I did want to see more Smile, so I liked Smile, too.
I didn't, but I want to?
I think it's fun.
Yes, there are some fun sequences in it, but like...
I think it opens with an incredibly fun sequence. Like, the single shot, like, that whole beginning, like, 10 minutes of, like, here was Smile. Like, yeah, and like also, following
that sequence and then breaks how the curse works, though.
Yeah, totally. Who cares? It's Smile. What is there even a curse?
Yeah, so there's some fun thing. It was just so annoying that the way you think that movie ends, because you know what the main character is and what Smile's about, there's no surprise. So like the annoying thing for me is that the first one is all about hallucinogens.
You're right. No, keep
I cannot say that word. All about personal mirages.
Until they actually become real and a natural monster.
Well, there are things that are not happening. Every single moment, it's like, this isn't actually happening. This isn't actually happening. You thought you were talking to this person, but it's not happening. You thought you were going here, but you were actually not going there. You can't do that again. Like, that's just, like, how I sat down to watch the movie. I was like, okay, I know everything that I'm about to watch is not happening. Constantly.
Yes.
But it's just frustrating. And except when the dance crew comes in.
Oh, dance crew coming in was great. I don't know. For what it didn't bother me as it was like almost watching like a celebrity like slowly descend into madness. And I was like, and I was kind of in on the entire just run of it, watching them like, you know, like watching the people around them freak out about how crazy they're becoming while they are becoming crazy, but maybe they're not actually becoming crazy. Maybe they're just cursed. And I was kind of, and like, I thought it was just like, I thought it was a fun time, a good time, some might say, through and through. It's definitely too long, but yes. I never really felt the length of it because I was just having fun with it the whole time.
I did, because by the end, when she's like heading out, I'm like, I know this movie's been feeling long, and I know everything that we're watching right now is not happening.
Yeah. Oh,
God. And that's frustrating. That we spent all that time, and now you're going to show me a bunch of scenes that in no way is tricking me into thinking that they're actually happening.
You mean even
just
when
so
they
you,
were like
just
trying
so
to
so you end in a way that I could have told you when you just said, so the next one's about this person.
Well, we all knew how the ending was going to happen.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, that, there was no way it didn't end like that. But you didn't even like it when they tried to freeze the curse out of her.
No. Well, because I was just sitting there being like, I know this is not real.
It was so dumb. It was so good. Oh,
but
man.
Yeah. It also drove me crazy because Voss Water is all over this movie. And it drove me insane. Yes. I counted.
Celebrities love Voss.
I counted while watching it. There are 7 different scenes that feature a Voss water bottle. There are 3 different scenes in which the main character is either actively drinking one or offered one, like by name.
Totally. It's popular like, water.
There are 2 different locations, 2 different sets in this movie that have a dedicated Voss water fridge.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
A Voss water bottle is an important prop in one scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the crux of, oh, what I thought happened didn't happen because the Voss water bottle's okay. It drove me insane. I felt like the one exciting
just
thing about
talking
this movie,
about it makes me laugh. I love
the
it.
One exciting thing about this movie is that I felt like I was being haunted by Voss water.
Oh, God.
Because then the next day I went and saw Anora, and there are 2 scenes in which Anora drinks from a Voss water bottle.
Well, they're just getting out there. You know,
the well, who's the Voss?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, who's the Voss indeed, Alex?
Oh, boy.
Wow. Okay. Next movie.
All right. Next movie. Yeah. Okay. So, can't think of a good pun. So let's go to Heretic.
It was fun.
Is it like, I kind of thought it was going to be like awesome. Like,
I really enjoyed it.
I was really excited to see it. And then it didn't come out up here. Besides a Palisade, so I have to go over the river.
It's going to be streaming in a day.
Oh, wow.
Of the 2 movies on here that basically take place in a single location, it's definitely the better one.
Do you wish you had gone to the immersive showing where they made the place smell like blueberries or whatever?
Oh, that's
Did
fun.
They do that? Was this in 4DX? Yeah.
No, this
Did
is a real happen? Thing. They made it smell like blueberry pie or something like that in one of the... Like in some special theater. I think it's on them.
Yeah.
That's neat. Great.
Yeah, Hugh Grant's super fun.
Hugh Grant's really good.
The scenes in which he's monologuing are the best. I don't think this movie
they are.
Knew how it wanted to end. And
it's just like a creepier Jordan Peterson.
Consider the lobster.
Yeah, like he, I think they cut a pretty good lane for him in which he is annoying, yet like making an okay point in a very annoying way. So it's not like they're completely dunking on religion or anything like that.
Right.
But also not like letting religion get off like untouched.
Right. Going into like, you know, different, I don't know, like simulation theory and stuff like, and I think it's all very, it's all super interesting. I thought it was very fun to watch him. I thought he was just having such a blast, going through all the going, just going through everything that he had. I thought that the two leads, Sophie Thatcher and Chloe East, were both very good in it.
Oh yeah, one of them is from Yellow Jackets, right?
Yeah. Sophie Thatcher from Yellow Jackets.
The young Juliet Lewis from Yellow Jackets, and the other one is the hyper religious girlfriend from Fablemans.
Oh my god!
It's like the Avengers. Somehow, like the intersection of those two things is kind of Heretic in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think that it necessarily sticks the landing of, I don't really know what landing it was trying to stick either, to be fair, but I did think it was just like a lot of fun. As just like, I don't know, I think the Letterboxd review was like talking like My Dinner with Andre, and it's kind of like that, like it's just like him just like monologuing at you for a while about like how wrong your religion is and like and questioning all this stuff, and then, you know, and then him throwing, you know, them into a pit, and that then it gets weird.
Sure.
I think it's totally, it's I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's definitely a, why, if you have the streaming service it's on, check it out. There's no reason not to.
There you go. Yep. Nice. All right. Moving on. Let's go. All right. Russ's cursor is at Blitz, so let's talk about Blitz.
Too much movie. Whoops. I think it tried to do way too much. I think it's really good, and it's, you know, it's, but it's almost a letdown because it feels like we've had, it's been a while since we've gotten a Steve McQueen.
Like a movie.
Yeah. It has been. Yeah. I mean, we got like four movies the last time.
Yeah. I think it does a little too much. I think the journey that this kid goes on is like super interesting. The section with Stephen Graham being like this weird Fagin, I was like, okay, we're almost, too much is happening in these 2 days.
That was only 2 days?
Only 2 days.
Holy shit, so much happens in this time. This was just such a... The first, like, 30 minutes up until, like, the train sequence are very... it almost feels like... obviously not actually lighthearted, but, like, for Steve McQueen, it feels kind of lighthearted. And it's fun. It's kind of moving through. And then... You know, the train sequence ends the way the train sequence ends. And then shit just like goes downhill for this kid.
And as I said, it's almost too much.
I think so, especially like, but there was just such, I was so stressed out this whole damn movie. Just like hoping that like something was going to happen. And then like, you know, you see the bombs that are like kind of, they'll kind of like cut the bombs all the time, but that you won't ever really see the impact of them. And then finally, like, as the kid is getting home, you know, there's like the more bombs, and you're just like, please let him get to somebody that he knows. Having to like go on the run a bunch of times. I like this sequence where like the kid is kind of like the hero, but you never actually see him being the hero. Yeah. I just like how like all of that ends up getting done. It's such a intense, stressful movie that we watched Uncle Buck right afterwards, and God, that is such a great movie. Let me tell you, like, I'm not gonna lie, that was so much fun.
Can this be the Buck Buck podcast?
We could do. I'm into it. Buck Buck. You need something lighthearted after watching this, because I just felt just like emotionally and physically drained after watching this movie.
Yeah, I thought it was weird that they ended with that Ramon song.
Oh, but it's good to see McQueen doing stuff again.
Yeah,
been a while.
Yeah, I said it looks great.
Yeah,
acting's good. I think
is this in theaters?
It had a very, very tiny run in theaters a month ago. And now it's on Apple now.
Yeah, it's on Apple. That's how we saw it. Yeah.
But yeah, if you got same thing, if you got Apple Watch, it as Tick said, it's tense. As I think you can easily find it to be a little bit too much potentially. But it's a good kid performance, which is always it's fun to see.
It's a very good kid performance from a kid that has very few lines for the most part, and it's just like him emoting and like just kind of like dealing with the situations at hand. Yeah, it's God, there are some ten. Yeah, okay, let's move on. I can't keep going on to that. This okay. I need something light. Let's talk about We Live in Time.
Oh God.
This is about the small town of Time, Texas.
Time, Texas.
And they're Russ. Living in it. What is this movie?
So it's a movie that is unnecessarily told out of sequence.
Yeah.
Until if it's not.
Yeah.
So back you know when you're like, wait, was that now or was that before? You'll do that for about an hour, and then the last 30 minutes they stop doing that.
At some point you're also kind of like, does it matter if this was now or before?
It right, like whether it was told in or out of sequence actually makes no difference, other than you ask the question, is this in or out of sequence if it's not in sequence? So and it's like, yeah, it's this movie, I feel like, exists within, like, this movie has been made in some way, shape, or form before. Like, there are pieces of this movie in a lot of other movies. And so you think, like, oh, maybe they're trying to give the definitive love story drama.
Yeah.
And they're not really doing that either.
If you told me this was a Dan Fogelman movie, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, like it's very This Is Us but British.
Yeah.
And it's kinda, it's like a little too schmaltzy, but so trying schmaltzy. To be real. It's like, we're not giving you the bullshit. We're a real movie talking about real stuff. Hey. But it's also like, I don't need this.
Yeah. There are moments, though.
There's moments that are good. The performances are good. The movie is inessential and unnecessary.
Yeah. Right, I think that like the one scene that really stood out to me was like the dinner scene when the dad is like talking about meeting like the wife for the first time at like, I really like, it was just like this simple little scene where it's like, this is very like heartwarming and like touching. And I really like this. I think that everything about like the Michelin star and the chef competition.
Oh, like
what?
Yeah, it just didn't. I know what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
I just didn't care. Like, I didn't ever feel, I never felt super grounded to this movie, even when it is doing something like, you know, showing a kid get born in like a friggin' gas station.
Gas station bathroom. Yeah.
Granted, that's a stressful scene and harrowing, but it's also like, I don't really care that much. And because you've jumped around so much, you've actually kind of taken the wind out of the sails of this movie, because like, it doesn't have any real narrative pull if I've just saw 5 minutes of some other shit. So
yeah,
if this movie chose to be at least linear, maybe I'd care. Probably not, though.
But it's not, and it doesn't make any sense for it to not be, except to just kind of like confuse you, and until you,
and to, I guess, maybe you come off like, as like, oh, I'm better than I am. I'm like artsy because I was told out of sequence, so I can like hide the fact that I'm really like not that good.
The movie seems a little manipulative to me.
But here's the thing, it's not, because
it's not. It almost should be.
it wants to be manipulative, but it's not. It's like a kid trying. It's like an 8 year old, like your 8 year old son learned their first magic trick, but they don't really know how to do it fully, so they keep kind of fucking it up. But you have to pretend like, oh, okay, wow, oh, look at you. It's like you you have to pretend like it's manipulative. So yeah. You're not, you're right and you're wrong at the same time, and that's the problem with this movie.
It's never.
Oh, look at you. That's so deep. Oh.
Like, you just don't. I think that the performances are good, but I also think that, like, a lot of the times, like, some of the character, the choices the characters make, you're just like, well, that's dumb. Just say something. Like, why are we, like, let's just cut out the next 15 minutes of this movie and just be like, I think this. And it's like, okay, this will be over. And, like, because it all ends up the exact same way. So it doesn't matter. I think Garfield has like a pretty good performance for someone who only who doesn't speak that much.
Oh my god, I thought you meant the cat for a second.
Yeah, no, he's in here.
Yeah, you think Chris Pratt's Garfield.
To be fair,
all Garfield.
The movie is that glib at times. So like wouldn't be like outside of it. Just you know, Florence Pugh, I think, is really good, but like some of the times she was like, that's just such a weird thing to say.
She's good, but the writing is not.
Yes, I totally agree. She's
selling bad shit. Like, she is selling it all, but I'm like, no real person. And I understand, like, I haven't been in a lot of the situations that this movie is presenting, but fairly certain that even if someone made these choices, they wouldn't say it in this way to the person they love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
And that person they love wouldn't stick around. These people would have never made it if this is how that person speaks to the other person. They would have never made it. So if we're seeing them make it, then you got to kind of round off these edges, because the character isn't like a manic pixie, and they kind of want you to think that they could be, but I'm like, she isn't.
Right.
If she got to this point in life, she isn't.
Right.
And if she got to this point in life and is miserable, then maybe she is, but she's not.
Right.
So
very successful, opens her own restaurant.
The motivations do not line up.
Yeah.
Right. And she did her best job of making them make sense, but I'm like, you really just kind of painted her into a corner that is unfair, because nobody is who she is pretending to be in a movie that's supposed to be real. Let's stop. Right. I don't like it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
The more I talk about it, the more I don't like it.
I kind of agree with that. All right. So we got three more to do, two more doubles, and then one that we all saw. So let's start with, you know what? Let's have a good old time. Let's talk about Wicked.
Dude, it's fucking sick.
It's so much fun.
It's so good. Shouldn't be.
Now, you think I can get a ticket, or is it too popular?
It was really difficult to get a ticket to the show.
I see what you did there. If you could defy gravity and get to the theater in time.
Nailed it.
I was setting up karaoke with someone, and a woman walked in and went, I just saw Wicked. I've been crying all day, and that's all I'm singing.
I get it.
And I was like, okay, you do you.
You go, girl. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. I had never seen the stage or the musical.
Nor had I.
Yeah, and me neither.
I have.
There you go.
I'm the most cultured one here.
There you go.
I hear that this movie is kind of like the play itself is kind of front loaded.
That's what I have heard as well. And this definitely feels very, I don't really know what the next 2.5 hours are.
No, I have a little bit of an idea, because like I've read up on Wicked, like, just on my own time. But this shit's about to get weird and wild. But this movie is as long as the entire play. And it's half of the play.
And it's just the first act, or I guess, I don't know, first two. I don't know. Yeah.
So this movie is up to intermission.
Okay.
So we still have a whole other buttload of shit, and I don't believe, based on like what happens in this play, there is enough to justify, like, because this was 2 hours and 40 minutes and it flew.
Yeah.
What's the next? The next one's gonna be at least 220.
It's gotta be. Assuming there's only one more.
Not much story.
No, and yeah. Like for what this was stuff, though.
Rumor is it's gonna do more stuff from the book or books.
Yep.
And not just do the stuff that's in the play.
Okay. There you go. There you go. This movie though, so my only real complaints, and it's weird because like listening or like reading what John Chu said, you know, that there were a lot of sets that were built for this, but I still felt like it felt very green screenish to me.
Yes.
And that didn't have like this, like, you know, like magical realism about it or fantastical about it. It just kind of felt like weird and off at times. But besides that, I do think that like Ariana Grande is having so much fun. Oh my God. Oh, like, you just watch that and you're just like, wherever you are, I want to be.
Is she licking a donut?
No, a lot of hair flips. A lot of hair flips throughout this movie. And they're always funny.
But I didn't realize, like, apparently, like, this is like the one thing she's always wanted to do.
Yes. Oh, interesting. Yes, I heard that it's
like. And it you see it like she, if this is the one thing you ever wanted to do, then when you get it, you better be fucking incredible. And she is. And I was like, I kind of had said like this movie feels like Avengers Infinity War for like nerds who like musicals.
Yeah, theater nerds.
Yeah. Cynthia Erivo is revelatory.
Yes.
And in the last like 10 minutes of the movie or 15, when Defying Gravity gets going.
Oh my God, I had chills.
Holy shit. This is like, this really is a soup. Like, this is a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Just hidden in, it gives you all the, like, when Captain America gets the friggin', Thor's hammer. You're like, oh shit. God.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it now.
Right. It's like that kind of thing. Or when in Man of Steel, not a great movie.
Yeah.
But when Superman, first starts to like fly and you see it and it's cool and they have all that Hans Zimmer music, they know how to make this shit feel big.
Yeah.
So, and they do it. Question. Someone that's not really a theater person.
Okay.
Is this something that like appeals to beyond the Avengers for theater nerds? Like, is this something that like anyone can get into?
I think you would understand that it is good. It might not be your thing.
Sure.
But I could see you seeing it and being like, that is good.
Also, not I talked about it last good. Time, but I want to say A Different Man, totally my thing.
I haven't seen that one yet, but I think that if like have like some sort of a reverence for like Harry Potter, like there's enough of like that type in here that you will enjoy it for that at the very least.
I watched four of those movies on Sunday.
There you go.
They're not so that's me, a lot. But they're objectively good.
The only other, so besides Defying Gravity, which is like a showstopper. It's amazing. I had a very difficult time understanding what anybody was saying while they were singing.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I don't
know.
The
only one I had a hard time with was the first one.
Okay.
Like, no one mourns the wicked or whatever. Like, that one I had a hard time because I'm like, I know this is a song that is telling me how I'm supposed to think. And I can't fucking hear it.
Yeah.
No one wants it. That was the only one that got me. But after that, I think my ears must have attuned because everything else I was able to pick up. But that first song, I was like, oh, I am fucked.
Yeah, I'm even more worried. I am so bad at hearing lyrics to stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm worried about seeing this movie.
There's a lot of lyrics that you
got
to hear.
I had a hard time with the first song, and then it got better. And I think once I kind of understood the vibes, and like, thank God I read about stuff that I don't necessarily ever see, because I kind of knew enough. I'm like, all right, I know where this is going. Just fucking like stop trying to hear so hard so that come to you.
I don't know if it comes with age, but I used to like hear and understand like hardcore songs.
Yeah, it's age.
Yeah,
it's definitely age.
Now you watch things with subtitles now.
Yep, absolutely. God.
Yeah, I do it sometimes.
How did you know?
I only watch things with subtitles now.
Because we're all either 40, 41, or almost 40.
You can just say men of a certain age.
I didn't want to. But yeah, we're all almost a certain age. So
I've been watching the Star Wars The Skeleton Crew with subtitles on, and that is objectively very easy to hear everything through, but I still
Because they made it for children.
I hear that's actually enjoyable.
I hear it's cute.
I think it's very cute.
I don't need subtitles for like dialogue. I can't do lyrics.
Oh, I think
I need it for everything.
Lyrics are tough.
I think mixing has just like gone downhill.
Weirdly. It has.
I put on Vocal Boost on everything.
Oh yeah.
Does that help?
It does help actually. You should turn that on. And
we really are in Men of a Certain Age old guy corner right now. But I do.
So it's not just like the Christopher Nolan Tenet effect.
Oh my god.
I have to change. I don't ever fuck with like the EQ shit on my soundbar. Never have. Now I do.
Yep.
I've
got to take that boost down. I got to bring that treble up. I got to heat. It's too much work. Yep,
turn the high end up and just
reduce loud noises and just try and isolate the actual like speaking as much as possible, turn it up to like 99 and be like, oh, so that's what Prue is saying in Great British Bake Off. But Star Wars Skeleton Crew, let me tell you, you can call that Return to Wookiee Mountain if you want to. 9 types of light speed. The dad is the singer from TV on the Radio. Okay.
Wait, really? That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, I know exactly.
He was just in Twisters, right?
He was also in Twisters, yes. Yeah, and something else. The band TV on the Radio.
Yeah. Tiny Desk Concert out now.
Tiny Desk Concert out now. There you go. I think they just played Webster recently.
Yep. Yeah, but they literally just did a Tiny Desk 2 days ago.
Ooh, okay. All right, I have to check. I'm hoping that they just re-released the first album. I'm really hoping that they do the rest of them because I really like all the other ones.
Oh, yeah. Return to Cookie Mountain, is that what you're talking about?
I would do Return to No, they did the one before that. Desperate Youth or
No, but I was saying, is that the one you're saying you like more?
Oh, I like everything. I like that. Dear Science, definitely number one. Nine Tips of Light. Dear Science, Nine Tips of Light, Seeds, Cookie Mountain. All those are heavy rotation all the time.
They have a new album coming out.
I can't believe that how much of the music podcast is currently happening right now.
So number two.
Thank you.
Okay. What musician is in this talk about?
In theaters. it's not.
So sadly Clint Eastwood doesn't do a song for it.
He should have. Could have.
Yeah, we were thinking of cutting this movie from to talk about today, but we didn't want to be like Warner Brothers. We need to start the hashtag Tiggs was robbed. hashtag juror number seven. Tiggs wrote a fake movie Friday. How many years ago?
12 years ago.
Called Juror Number Seven. That is the plot of this film.
Basically the plot of this film. I would say I was a little more nuanced as well. But besides that. There was some problematic casting in mind, but there were things that we didn't know now that we do. But yeah, it was very funny when like this was coming out. I was like, that's really funny. I wonder if it has anything to do with Juror Number Seven. And then only to find out that it was about a guy being, you know, on the jury to convict a murderer. I was like, I should go read that treatment that we did 12 years ago to see how close it is. And you know what? There's some ideas there. I'll be honest. Even the title seems a little bit too close as well. I won't lie. Twos and sevens look very similar. But it's
I mean, of all the numbers that they could have done to really change the least.
I know. They're like just you know, add a little line.
I mean, a two is seven is just a seven that's kneeling, that's what I say.
Yeah, there you go. So, exactly. Kevin Nealon.
So this movie's good. Nicholas Hoult's really great in it.
He is right.
I was shocked that this is from a 90-something-year-old director and how kind of, like, even-handed it was.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I was not expecting it to be that.
Yeah, especially the ending. I was really surprised at the way they left it, and surprised in a good way and very happy the way they left it. Because I think this whole movie works because it continuously asks you, how do you want this movie to end? And I think that's what makes it so interesting. Like every 30 minutes, I was like, wait a second, how do I want this to end? Where is this, like, where could this be going? And what would be satisfying? And I like where it, how it kind of, it does lean into that in a really nice way. Some of the performances are a little stilted. Annoyingly, Clint Eastwood being an old white idiot casts two black people on the jury and pretty much gives them the same character.
Yeah. That was problematic.
Which is deeply obnoxious. They're both like, I don't know. That rubbed me the wrong way, but overall, I was very surprised at how much I liked it.
The thing that kind of surprised me was how quickly they just got to the jury room, and it was just the deliberations for like the second, for basically like an hour and 10 minutes of this.
There's very little like courtroom stuff.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a lot of buildup and him like sweating in the jury box or whatever, but it's not that. It's just like, you are done with the trial very quickly. And then it is like, okay, let's 12 angry men, this type of thing. And I think that it goes some interesting places. I think that a lot of it ends up working pretty well. The performances are decent. But I think you're right. You're always like, you're kind of rooting for Nicholas Holt, but then you're also like, should I really be? And then by the end of it, when, you know, he's kind of like in the house, like watching the sirens go by, what's going to happen? You know, there are all these things where there is this like built in tension to just like, you know, the realities of normal day life. And then the actual final shot is a very good, wait, what?
Yeah.
You cut to black there. What's going to happen? Yeah. And I do really like how they leave that off as well.
Yeah. So yeah, give it a try.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, I think it would have been better if it was the stenographer writing the end as I had written 12 years ago. you know, whatever, you know, what you do what you do. It was fun. It was very fun. Oh, Alex has got to go.
I gotta go. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Conclave.
Conclave, just want to say.
Yeah, give us 2 seconds of Conclave. Alex, go.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good dad movie.
It's a very good dad
movie. But, like, it's, like, it's one of those ones where it's, like, it's reminding me a lot of Lincoln, where it's, like, you turn something into a thriller that's, like, you wouldn't think of as a thriller. And I really dug it. I gotta say it's as of now it's definitely has a ranking.
Oh
yeah,
without question.
Yeah,
this is definitely.
It's also a mom movie though. That's a lot of gossip. Like, did you hear what?
Yeah. Oh, there's some messy bitches in this movie.
Like, I can't believe. I know. I'm not gonna say anything, but maybe you should. I loved it. It is more compelling than it should be.
An all-star like cast too.
Yeah, and what this director is not American, right? He's German.
Yes, the guy that did
All Quiet. Exactly.
Which was better than it had any business being.
That movie shouldn't have been good, but
phenomenal music.
Yeah. The sound in that was amazing. And
like this kind of has that too. It's like, I'm like, who? And like, I don't know, it's just so compelling.
Beautifully shot.
Oh yeah.
I know that there's already a YouTube channel like Every Frame of Painting. Every Frame's a goddamn painting.
Yeah.
But it's sick. It's so good. The music is great. It's shot awesomely.
The performances are fantastic.
Ray Fiennes, like,
watch Conclave. Peace out.
He's awesome. Lithgow. Everybody. All these dudes who I just know from stuff but don't know their names. There are so many good. Tucci.
Tucci kills it.
Like, this is like such a, like, this is one of the better, Tucci's good in everything, but this is one That's of the true. First times in a while that he's been objectively great.
Yeah.
This movie is a, it is a top tenner for certain, and it shouldn't be as good as it is.
The best Isabella Rossellini, like, show, yeah. like, this oh. is like, it's like all-star cast that are just like coming in and doing, like, it's so well done. And like Alex was saying, it creates a thriller out of something that you don't think is going to be a thriller.
Nope.
And it's Pete had like a good letterbox of like, you know, Hope Row or what, you know, like, because it becomes just like a mystery. Yeah. It's very, very well done. Just very well set up in that way. And you're just kind of from like the second it starts until they like start having these like behind door conversations and be like, well, did you hear that they had a conversation where this guy was told to leave? You're like, what do you mean? And you just get, everybody is so taking everything so seriously that you become very involved in like, well, what's going to happen? How are these decisions going to get made? Who's going to become the, like, what's going to happen? The voting scenes were so fun to watch.
I was every like, time, every single time I was like, oh no.
Yeah. So far this year, my award for best comedic timing is the vaping pope. I'm sorry, the vaping cardinal. That would just like choose the best times to absolutely rip on his vape, and it was so fucking funny.
Oh, this is a good movie. So when I saw like even the posters for it, I initially thought it was a comedy. I was like, John Lithgow and Stanley Tucci looks hilarious.
And in some ways, it's like you do chuckle a little bit.
Totally. And then I started to see like you and Peter had like Letterboxd reviews that like were very highly rated. I was like, huh, okay, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And then diving in, I got sucked in immediately. And was just like, and yeah, I think that this is easy top 10 with when we talk about awards season and nominations, I think there's going to be a couple of acting noms that are coming from this.
This is going to get picture, cinematography, and if the actors don't cannibalize each other, it should get a couple of those.
Yeah. There's going to be there could be two supportings that end up in this.
And that's the tough part. Like, you almost want them to decide, like, who are we going with for supporting?
I'd vote Lithgow over Tucci.
I would go Tucci. I would go Tucci.
I don't know that I can say definitively Lithgow over Tucci. I'm thinking Tucci, but I think Ralph Fiennes is a lock for
actor. He's a lock. Yeah, for sure. I would lean Tucci.
Calling Ralph Fiennes a lock is a dangerous thing because if you remember, he was not nominated for Grand Budapest.
Yeah, that's fair.
An absolute shocking snub from that morning.
But I feel like
in a movie that got plenty of love, it's not like the movie was snubbed. He was.
But like Tucci was snubbed for Space Chimps, you know, and for like Transformers, like Dark of the Moon. So like I feel like this has to be. Yeah, he's owed. He's owed. Ah, Space Chimps, classic.
Conclave, see it, fucking slaps.
It's great. It's really good. What else is coming out this year that everybody's excited about?
So we're close.
I'm very excited for Bird. I really want to see Bird.
I need to see The Brutalist.
Oh yeah, The Brutalist, which has an intermission, and I appreciate that.
Nice.
Thank you for respecting people's bladders. Night Bitch comes out this weekend. It's like 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Go.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah.
Night Bitch is this weekend. That looks good.
Night Bitch. End, that drama with that musical fantasy movie about the end of the world with Michael Shannon. Y2K.
I'm really excited for Y2K.
So fun.
Y2K looks really good. Baby Girl, is that? What is it called? Nicole Kidman?
Yeah, Nicole That's Kidman. Soon. Harris Dickinson. I'm interested in September 5th or September 5th, however we're supposed to say it. I think could go either way, like be really, really good or just be like kind of like, okay, this is prestige-y, but fine.
Yeah, it looks... The trailer I just saw in theaters the other day. I knew what the movie was about, and I was like, I don't need to see that. But the trailer did a good job of making it really feel like ticking clock, super dramatic. It's about like the shit during the Munich Olympics. It looks good. There's like a hostage situation.
Okay.
It looks like it could be very good or very forgettable. This is a movie that's coming out limited that I am very interested in because it's a boxing movie about a down and out guy. But the Day of the Fight comes out this month. It's what's his name? He never really hit as an actor, but he was in Boardwalk Empire until he got killed. I can't remember his name. But he was also in that movie where with the two guys that kill the family, Brady Corbett and the other guy. God, this is driving me crazy. But it's a boxing movie. Looks great. Joe Pesci's in it.
Yeah, I was going to say Joe Pesci, Steve Buscemi, Ron Perlman.
Yeah, and it's directed by Jack Huston, who was also in Boardwalk Empire with the guy whose name I can't remember right now. Michael Pitt.
Michael Pitt. Oh, okay, yeah.
It just looks like a good boxing movie, and I will see as many boxing movies as get made.
Bird is the new one from the director of American Honey, and that's I think it's been a while since she's had one come out with Barry. How do you spell his last name? Keegan.
Keegan. That's what I say.
And I think that I forget what movie he dropped out of to go and do. Was it like a Nora that he was going to be in and then dropped out?
No, but it was a movie of consequence that has been out recently. I just can't remember which.
Yeah, it's like it's something that was on this list that we talked about today that he was going to be in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craven.
Maybe Venom. I don't know.
Could be. We have Craven.
Nosferatu. On this month.
Nosferatu. Yeah, that's on Christmas. What a great Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Craven. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You know.
They posted the first 8 minutes online.
And?
So you can go watch it. I haven't watched it yet, but I can't see that as anything but desperation.
Yeah, that is please see this movie. We don't know what we're doing. And I'm not going to take the bait. I'm going to pay to see it in theaters. we've got a couple more things. We've got Baby Girl. That's December 20th. Sonic 3, December 20th.
That's so wild that that's such a trying to be an awards player at this point. But okay.
Yeah. Mufasa. And then that Bob Dylan movie that looks like dog shit.
That's with who's it?
Timmy
Chalamet. Okay, Timmy C.
It just doesn't look good. It looks stupid. And again, I don't know how they keep making these movies after Walk Hard.
I know.
Yeah. I don't like. I enjoyed what was I'm Not Here, which was the one where like a bunch of people.
Was a creative spin in a different way, like. And this is fucking, what's his name? James Mangold, who literally already did Walk the Line. I'm like, you made this movie already.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't realize that it was Mangold. Yes, okay.
It's like, unless you're making a biopic cinematic universe, which you're not because he didn't bring back what's his name to be Johnny Cash. He got somebody else to be Johnny Cash. Stop. No one cares.
Yeah. Wow, that's still a lot coming out, and I still need to see Anora. I still need to see A Real Problem. I still need to see A Simple Man. Is that A Different Man?
A real pain and A Different Man.
Okay, A Real Man and A Different Pain. got it. Man, this is gonna be. We're gonna have to do something. before our top tens, I feel like, just to get through some of these things, because we just named like 10 movies that.
Yeah, we're going to need like somewhere. An early January clear out and then late January top 10.
That works. Yeah, I think that that's what we're going to have to do. Like first or second week, Jan, get rid of everything, get it all out there, and then just get through our top tens in the next one. Otherwise, we're going to run into that whole the problem of having a 3-hour podcast like we have done with the top tens.
Yes. You're right.
Yeah. Which is fine. It's actually going to be pretty fun. I'm excited for this. I'm excited for these movies. There's a lot coming out and a lot I didn't even realize were coming out. All right. But that's in a month from now. So until then, at the very least, you can find Russ online as Rust Incredible. You can find basically everything. You can find Peter as 12 Angry Pete's now.
12 Angry Peters.
12 Angry Peters.
After some students found me on Letterboxd,
Well, yeah, because obviously they listen to the podcast. So now they're just going to hear your new name. So, like, I don't understand. You can find me on Letterboxd, Johnny Tiggs, the Strava, Johnny Tiggs. Give me some kudos. I could use it. Running a lot. You know, I need more kudos. You can find us on the web, moviemoviepodcast.com. I think that I usually do that at the beginning. This has really kind of messed me up by screwing up this order. Alex, is Alex on Letterboxd yet?
No.
Okay, you can find Alex on this podcast, moviemoviepodcast.com. And that's it. We'll see you all in, let's say, 1 month and 1 week for our next podcast full of more movies than this time somehow. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Movie Podcast.
I always, before we record, I always remember that we say something about our names.